Go. Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. My name is Daryl Bloomfield. My wife, Kim, would have loved to have been here with you as well, but she's not feeling well today. And so she sends her greetings. As you can see, the title of our presentation today is Fiji Bloomfield for our last name, Muslim Outreach Update in the Fiji Islands. And it was really great to meet the two people here at the front of the church. And they're from China, and this is their first time in a church. And God has brought them here this morning. And nothing happens by accident. I certainly don't mean to embarrass you, but it's just great to have you with us this morning. It really is. And so let me pray and ask for God's blessing on our time here today. Our gracious Father in heaven, oh, what a joy it is to be together worshiping you, and for this worship team and the words that they have sung and that we have sung of praise and worship to the Lamb, the one who was slain, who died on the cross for us. Oh Lord, we are so blessed and so thankful for what you have done for us. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to spread that message around the world, wherever you lead us and wherever you guide us to go. I thank you for everyone who's here this morning. And Lord, you know, as the pastor has said, you know the needs that are represented here. You know the hearts and the joys and the sorrows and the heartaches that are represented here amongst us all today. We all have them. And we ask, Lord God, that you would comfort each one and show the way and tinker in our lives and cause us to be new creatures in Christ as you have said we can be. And so, Lord, I pray that you will just encourage the church this morning and that, Lord, you will take control of my lips and mouth and mind, and that you will cause it to work properly today to speak forth the things that you want said here today, and that you will be glorified and honored. Your name will be lifted up and the church will be built. Lord, not only the church in Lacombe, not only the free church, but the church around the world will be built as you said it would be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, okay, let's do the next. Oh, I wonder why. Okay, let's do the next slide. Hey, it did go. It's just, all right, I'm sorry. So I just want to introduce us a little bit here that my grandparents came to this church back in probably about the 1940s when it was down by the Toronto Dominion Bank. And so they came to church there. My mom went along with them. She was about 17 years old. She was a brand new believer. Relatively, they had come from Ontario, and they had heard the gospel out there, and they came to Lacombe looking for a church, and they found this one. And a few years later, my dad was invited to that church. He had come back from World War II, and he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior at that church. And then it was built up here, and I had the privilege of coming to this church then. And although some of you probably don't know me, but my wife and I had the privilege of coming here, and then we moved out to a place about at Meadowbrook Church out towards Crestomere. And then God called us to go as missionaries to the Fiji Islands back in about 1998. So some of you are, that's a long time ago. But we've been there pretty much ever since, working with Muslim people and sharing the gospel with them. And it has truly been the most wonderful experience of our lives. We have 6 children, 15 grandchildren. And so Kim and I, my wife, we are there alone now. And it's just, it's hard to be away from the grandkids, but God is still calling us to be there. So I'll be explaining a little bit about that as we go on here this morning. But first, let me tell you about Fiji. Sorry. I might have a touch of what my wife has, so my throat's a bit annoying this morning to you. So Fiji is located roughly about 4 hours by plane north of Auckland, New Zealand. And there are about 100 islands that are inhabited in Fiji. The others, there is about 300 islands, but there's no water on them, so nobody can live there. There's about 1 million people in the country of Fiji. And half of them are Fijian people who normally follow the Methodist Church, but they're only Sunday Christians. There are some very wonderful, mature Christian people there as well, but the majority are just Sunday Christians. And they came to know the Lord. They were cannibals here 175 years ago. But they came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior about 175 years ago. And they left cannibalism and they began following the Lord Jesus. And that God completely transformed the nation. And they became a very godly nation. They tried to reach out to the many islands around them, like Solomon Islands and Tonga and Samoa, and they did a wonderful work there. But over the years, they slid, and things became quite serious, and it's not good. And that saying that every generation needs to be evangelized. And they have to be. Every generation has to be evangelized or they get away from God. So that's what happened with the Fijian people. The other half of the population, as I said, there's about 1 million people there. 500,000 are Fijians. The other half are Indian. They're from East India. They came here, came to Fiji to harvest the crops for the Fijian people. About 85% of them are Hindu, and about 15% of them are Muslim. Now, of the Muslim people, none of them have come to know Christ. We've been there for 25 years, 26 years. I don't think I even know that many Christian Muslim people that come out of a Muslim background, really. And so it's very, very sad and it's very critical that they be reached with the gospel in our generation, if at all possible. Of the Hindu people, there's about 2% of them that are born again Christian people that follow the true and living God. Today, the elementary schools are plagued with terrible drug problems, prostitution, crime, AIDS, and everything you can imagine is crept into the schools. In fact, we even have children that are 10 years old that are shooting drugs into their veins. And they do a thing called Bluetoothing, where one person will get high on a drug, he will draw his blood and sell his blood to the other students in the classroom. And so you can imagine how AIDS has become a terrible, terrible situation. And the kids are almost unmanageable, impossible to manage. So that's the situation in Fiji right now. And they desperately need prayer. That's for sure. So I love this verse. I love all the Bible, as you do too. But this verse holds special importance for me here today. I'm going to read it together. You're welcome to read along. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? And I just want to look at this passage in reverse and see what it's actually telling us. First of all, I see it as kind of an outline to the four steps of coming to know God. Okay? The first thing is that someone must be sent to proclaim the gospel to them. Okay? Somebody has to be sent. Then, second step, the lost must listen to and understand the gospel message. And that's up to us and to the church to present that to the people. Then the lost must believe that Jesus will save them. If they don't believe that Jesus can save them or will save them or wants to save them, why would they go the next step? Which is that they will actually ask Jesus to be their Savior and have their sins forgiven and be destined for heaven with Almighty God. So these are the four steps. Someone must be sent. They have to preach the gospel to them. The lost have to listen. And then they have to believe that Jesus will save them. And they need to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So I thank God that we have been sent to Fiji. But you know what? We're not the only ones that are sent. According to the Bible, every believer is a sent one. We read in John 20, verse 21, where Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me," as he's praying, Jesus says, "As the Father, as you have sent me, I am now sending them," the disciples. And it applies to everybody, every believer that knows the Lord Jesus as his or her Savior has been sent by Jesus to tell of his wondrous work. Now, most Muslims have never heard the truth about Jesus, as most of the religions of our world today. The people that are caught in those religions do not know the truth. They've never been able to understand it. Nobody's taken the time to explain the gospel message to them. And that is very sad, isn't it? So we as the believers, as the church of Jesus Christ today, must do our best to present the gospel to the lost, and to help them to understand so that they will know what to do with it. It is not our job to make them listen, but it is our job to proclaim the gospel if they will. Amen? And so we're looking for people that will listen. Here the other day, I was in Rocky Mountain House. And we were working with the Christian Motorcycle Group. And there were people coming by that we were giving out tracts and talking to and praying with as they were, if they would let us. But there were always people that say, nope, thank you, don't want it, forget it. You know? Okay, well, that's going to happen, isn't it? And that's their choice. But doesn't it make your heart ache when you realize that one day when they stand before God, that God will say, I gave you a chance to hear the truth, but you wouldn't listen. You had your chance. And I believe that only God can draw people to himself. If you look in John 6:44, it says, no man or woman can come to me unless the Father draws him. So there's no amount of convincing that you and I can do that will cause a human heart to want to reach out to God. So we need to be praying continuously and have people pray for us and pray for the lost that he will draw them to himself. Because if it's just a human work, it will not move forward. Right? It has to have prayer. It has to have God's movement within it. And then in Romans 10:9, we read that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead after he was crucified for our sins, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful fact of what the Lord has, the privilege the Lord has given us to share the gospel with people. Now, I forgot to switch that. Sorry about that. First, someone must be sent. We're all sent. Praise the Lord. He didn't leave us out. He gave us the privilege to be sent. And the lost need to listen and understand and hear the gospel. And that's what we're looking for, is people that will listen. And then they need to actually believe that Jesus will save them. Only God can make that happen in a human heart. Think of the time when you came to be a saved. God worked in your heart, and all of a sudden you thought, you know what? I wonder, could that actually be true? Could Jesus actually save me, forgive my sins, and take me and give me a new life here on earth and heaven as well? And then, of course, everyone has to call out and ask Jesus to save them. Nobody can do it for us. Our parents can't. Nobody else, no priest, nobody can do this for us. Only when we personally cry out to God to save us will he actually do it. Okay, so what I want to show you now is what the lies that the Muslim people believe and what makes it so hard for them to come to know Jesus as their Savior. First of all, they are taught that the Bible has been corrupted, that only the Quran, the Bible of the Muslim people, is the only book you can trust. The Bible that we have has been changed. The words have been altered. And we've changed it, they say, to match our own religion. So when we read the Bible to them, they're taught not to listen to it. And also, they are taught that Jesus is not the Son of God, and that he is not the Lord of the universe. They're taught that he is just a man like any one of us, or woman, just like a human being, that he has, that he's not the Lord of the universe like we sang about this morning. And they, in fact, teach that Muhammad is a higher prophet than Jesus. So Jesus is way down here, and Muhammad is the top guy. They are also taught that Jesus did not die on the cross and he did not rise again. The very core elements of being saved is to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again 3 days later like he said he would. And the Bible says if we will believe those things and learn those things for ourselves, that we will be saved from our sin, from hell, and that we will have a home in heaven. Amen? That's the promises of Almighty God. And so it's so precious to know those things. They're also taught that we Christians worship three gods. They say, oh, us Muslims are much better because we only worship one God. You guys worship three of them. God, Jesus, and Mary. You know where that came from. And that's a lie, but that's what they're taught. Right? And they also believe that everyone who does not follow Muhammad and the Quran should be killed. And that's their agenda. That is their agenda in the world today, including in Canada, that the Christian people will not survive and that they will overtake our land. That's a terrible thing to have to say, but that if you read the Quran, that's exactly what it says. So what is my prayer? And what would I ask you to do to join us in this is that God would draw Muslims to himself and plant 5 Muslim background believing churches in Fiji in the next 5 years. Now, that's just our prayer. That doesn't mean that's going to happen, but it certainly won't happen if we don't pray it, right? And so that's what we feel. We should pray, and if God sees differently, that's his business. But this is what we are going to pray and what I'm going to ask you to join me in praying as well. There's very few Muslim believers in Fiji right now. I only know of one. I'll tell you about him in a minute. I only know of one believer in Fiji right now. That doesn't mean there's not any other ones, because I don't know everybody, but there's very, very few. There have been some that have come to know the Lord through our works, but they have either died, or they've moved away to another country, or they have gone back to Islam. Those are the three things. We've lost people through those different ways. But we are focusing on 10 Muslim cities in Fiji that we've identified, and we want to work with those people. And we want to try to work with churches in those cities and see them rise up to help us work with Muslim people. And we want to be able to have resources like tracts and Bibles and time to spend with them, training them to work so with Muslim people. So that is our prayer. And I'd ask you to really consider whether God would have you join us in that, in praying in that way. So now I want to just tell you a bit about what God has already miraculously given to us to work with, okay? So we have our full support to go back to Fiji here in September. We are, God willing, we will be going back there, and God has fully met our needs for that, okay? So we thank God for that. Also, we have 2 churches in Fiji that have already asked us to help them get trained and to know how to reach Muslim people. They're different than other people in many ways, and you need to reach them the way that they understand. And it just, that's how it needs to be done. We now have 1 MBB worker, Muslim background believer, in Fiji. That's the one person that I told you about. And he has come to help us train Christians to how to reach out to these people. So I mean, I know what a miracle this is, more than you do, because we've struggled for so long with none of this. We also were given 5,000 Gospel of Johns to give out into Fiji, but they're in Seattle and they need to be shipped over to Fiji. And that's, we're still waiting for that to happen. We've also, people have contributed to purchasing tracts. And I put some of them at the back table today. If you want to look at them, the tracts, one of the main ones is Jesus and the Quran. So it tells them about Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. It tells them what the Quran says and tries to expose some of the things that they need to know. So we've got the Gospels of John, we've got the 12,000 tracts, and we've also got the permission to print these tracts ourselves. They're not copyrighted. We can print as many as we want and give them out. But of course, we need the funding to be able to do that. So this man is Riaz. Riaz was born and raised, excuse me, in Fiji. He wanted to work. He worked a lot in the mosque in Suva, right near his home. And he would do the call to prayer. He would help around the mosque. He did everything that he could, thinking that by doing good works and being a good person, that he could earn heaven. Of course, the Bible tells us we cannot earn heaven, that God gives it as a gift if we ask him. But he was taught that it was something he had to work to earn. So he worked very hard. But by the time he was 30 years old, he realized he was hopeless because he couldn't be perfect. And he realized that you had to be perfect to go to heaven. And so he went to a church one day and he heard the gospel message. And he invited Jesus Christ into his life. It didn't happen all in the one Sunday, but he kept going back to that church until he figured it out and began to understand the gospel, and then he received it at 30 years of age. Riaz has gone through a lot of problems in his life. I won't go into it, but he has probably seen more than his share of trouble. But we met him about 10 years after he came to know the Lord. He came over to Fiji to see his mom. And my wife and I met him, and we just became friends like no other. And we've been in contact the last 10 years, been asking him, Riaz, could you come to Fiji and help us? And he said, I would love to come, but I can't. I have no money, and my family need me in Australia. So I'll have to stay. Well, long story short, his family have now grown up, and he's now in Fiji. Came about 6 months ago, and he loves the Lord with all his heart, and he's very, very good at evangelism. He loves to pray with Muslim people, and this is a friend of ours with the the guy in the T-shirt. He is a Muslim, and they're doing Ramadan, right? This is the time of Ramadan, and during Ramadan, Muslims will almost never talk to a Christian because they feel it will offend Allah, and that because of them talking to a Christian, that Allah won't hear their prayers during Ramadan. So, but here, Riaz has won this man's heart and trust, and he's willing to pray with us here. This is about roughly 6 months ago when he came to Fiji. And he's the kind of man that people follow. These are one Indian fella and one Fijian fella there, and they're both helping him pass out tracts in Fiji. And so this is our goal. This is our desire, that we will see numerous teams like this raised up around the country to give out tracts and to share the gospel with Muslim people. Just as well, I want to show you this picture of a church, of a group of leaders, church leaders in Fiji. They are meeting together to see churches planted around the world. I'm not saying that right. There's a group out of California that feel that God has led them to plant 5 million churches around the world in the next 10 years. And so they're going to different, they're called DCPI. If you want to Google it, DCPI, they will tell you the details of what they're doing. But they brought us together and they're teaching us how to have daughter churches. And so I stood up in the group and I said, you guys, you know, you want to plant a church in a daughter church from yourself. You should really pray about starting a Muslim background believer church, because they haven't been reached. They haven't been touched. And God, you know, really wants that to happen. And so they said, okay, we hear you. You come back and teach us how, and we will. Amen? So that's the situation. And that's where we're at. And consequently, we are really excited to go back and to see what God has for us and what he wants us to do. And just pray that our strength will remain and that we'll be able to keep going. And God will equip us and will speak to the churches as we go. Now, I want to share with you probably one of my most favorite verses as a church planter is found in Matthew 16, verse 18, and it's, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, you may be aware, but I'll repeat it anyway, that this promise by God was made in an area called Caesarea Philippi, which was an area, a very idolatrous, idol-worshipping, pagan area. Many temples to the false gods were in that area. And in fact, even a cave was there where the local people believed the demons would come out of that cave into the world to do their wicked work, and then they would go back again. And that is called the gates of hell. Jesus called it the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell. And so Jesus said that even those gates would not be able to stand up against the church. Now, I was reading about this, and it's so amazing, because biblical scholars agree that this term represents the power of death and of evil in the world. The gates of hell represents the power of death and evil in our world today. And this word, prevail, well, the promise is the guarantee that God will enable the church to prevail against evil. Now, this word prevail is used 2 times in the New Testament. Once it is used in Luke chapter 23. And in this situation, the Pharisees were talking to the leader of the Roman people. Forget his name. Anyway, they were trying to get Jesus crucified, right? And so they're speaking out lies about Jesus, and they're telling the Pharaoh, but the guy, the leader of the Roman people at that time, that Jesus needed to die, and their voice prevailed, and Jesus was crucified because their voice prevailed. Now, this same word is used again, and it says that will never happen again. It happened because Jesus had to die for us, right? It wasn't that God was weak. It was God's plan that Jesus would die for us. So God allowed that their voices to prevail. But today, he said, the church will prevail. The church will have the power and the strength and the ability and the anointing of Almighty God to prevail against the power of death and evil and sin in our world today. And that is the single thing, I think, that motivates me more than anything, is I want to raise my voice, and I want to see the church raise their voice against the powers of Islam, against the darkness of Hinduism, against the darkness of the human soul, to such a degree that they will turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved and have a new life here on earth and heaven as well when they die. So that verse, if you just mark, if you haven't already marked that verse in your Bible, I would just challenge you, mark it. It's Matthew 16:18. If you're an evangelist, you feel God calling you to work in his harvest field, that is a promise that you need to have. Yeah, this is the promise in Luke 23. I didn't realize I had written it down there. But this is the scripture where they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he, that Jesus, be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. And they won. They thought they won. So that's the one place, it's the one of the places it's used, and the other place is when it says, and the church will, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. And so what it actually tells us to do, folks, it's telling us to attack. It's telling me, it's telling the church, attack the darkness of the world today. Attack in prayer. Attack in what you say. Attack in how you evangelize, how you share the gospel with people. Yes, we do it in love. Of course we do. But if we just sit back with our arms folded and do nothing, we're not attacking. We have to be raising our voices and moving forward. And that's why we're going back to Fiji and why we do what we do and why we want to go into those cities. Amen? And we need your prayer. We really need your prayer. Oh, I've gone too far. Where are we at here? Okay. Okay, so there we are. That verse there. Now, will you join us in praying for these needs? These are the things, I told you what we already have. We have the churches, we have the ability to go, we have the tracts that we need and the Bibles that we need to be able to go. Now, this is what we need, is that God would provide us with 5 churches in Fiji who are willing to reach Muslims with the truth. They're willing to say, okay, we will call a team together and we will stand with these people and pray for these people and we will support them as they go out. Buy their bus ticket or whatever it costs to get there. And we also pray that God will provide us with 50 workers like Riaz, and like those other 2 men that I showed you, who are willing to reach out by giving out tracts on the street, talking to people along the road, and to visit homes and pray for the sick. Yeah, so that we're looking for 50 workers that will do it. We need training materials for those 50 workers. And so it costs roughly about $30 a student for the materials to print it and make sure they have what they need. There's three main books that they need to be able to study and to learn from. We also need shipping for these 5,000 gospel tracts of scriptures from Seattle to Fiji. And we need shipping for the tracts as well. Out of Seattle. What we've done is brought them both together, and hopefully it'll make the cost a little bit lower by combining those two shipments. But we haven't been able to get it out yet, the government and all their controls. So pray that that will happen. And also, the printing of the other tracts that we're able to print, it costs about $30 roughly or so, per 100 tracts to print them in Fiji. And most importantly is prayer support for the workers and tracts to be read so that people will want to know. Their heart desire will be to know the God that can save their souls from damnation forever and ever, just like we sang about this morning. So, when we get there, we will begin with these two churches that have invited us to come. And then we will start traveling throughout Fiji to try to find churches that will work with us and will let us work with them. So those are things that we need prayer for. And I cannot state too strongly how much we need your prayers and how... Like, we're just human beings, and we have no power of our own to convince anybody to do anything that they don't want to do, right? But Almighty God, when He speaks, something happens in the heart, and we are changed. Amen? And that's what needs to happen. So, let's go to, okay, there we are. If you would like to contact us in any way regarding what I've said here this morning or what I didn't say here this morning, please feel free to phone me. If there's anything you would like to know more about as far as salvation goes or as far as God is concerned, please email me and we can talk. Also, there's prayer cards at the back with our email address on them. And if you want to pray for us, please do. Because God is going to, I really believe this is the breakthrough that we've been waiting 26 years for. So, and if you are not receiving our prayer letter, every month we send out a report of how God is leading and where we need prayer. If you're not getting that prayer letter, write us at that email address and I'll send it to you, right? And then you can pray exactly what needs to happen. And and if you want to participate in any way to the financial needs, then you can see it there as well. You can just Google weccanada.org, which is the mission that we work with. And they will make sure that the funds are handled properly and that you get a tax receipt for that. Okay? So that's basically all that I have to say this morning. Continue to pray for my wife. As I said, she's not feeling well. And she gets lonely there with the grandkids at home. Us men, we don't seem to feel that. I don't know what's wrong with us, but we just feel differently about it because we know we're going to be together forever in heaven. But the ladies are They are nest builders, and they love their children and their grandchildren. So I praise God for that, right? Okay, I don't know, are there any questions or anything that comes to mind that's sticking in your head as I'm talking up here? If there are, feel free to ask. But, sorry. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah, that's totally true. Right. That's totally true. It's just like in this country, we have people that sort of believe the Bible, but they don't really live it. Right? In Islam, the same thing. There's people that the Quran says yes. Muhammad said, if you will not follow me or the Quran, kill them. But there are nominal Muslim that they're not going to do that. And that is one hope for Canada, I would say, that by the time the second and third generation go through the changes that happen, that they won't be so radical. But look at Iran. Look at what's happened over there. A life means nothing. Right? Yeah, but you're right. Good question. Okay. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone who is here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for their interest in you and their desire to worship you. Their desire to see the gospel go forth around their community where they live, as well as around the world where they can't go. So thank you, Lord, for their part in sending us to Fiji and in helping us have what we need to be able to do the work. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are at work in every one of our hearts, and you are tinkering in our lives to bring about new life and hope and peace and joy that we cannot have on our own. So thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And I pray that as the work goes forward in Fiji, that your Holy Spirit will tinker the Muslim hearts as well and cause them to see they have no hope, they have nothing, but that Jesus offers them everything that they need to have their sins forgiven, a new life here on earth, and a home in heaven forever. Through what Jesus did on the cross and by raising from the grave. So, Lord, I pray your blessing now upon us as we go home. Fill our hearts with joy for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.